Good morning, everyone. The takeaway is Celeste Headlee is at large. She's off for a few days. Julian Assange, however, in custody in England. We're going to be talking about that later on in the hour. We'll keep you updated on the big story. Julian Assange arrested on official charges now of sexual misconduct of some kind. We don't know the details in Sweden. In Brussels today, though, the Eurozone 16 finance ministers are meeting this week to discuss how to get the European Union out of its debt crisis. They're also expected to approve an 85 billion euro package to help Ireland. Remember us talking about that the last several weeks? Among the check writers in this latest bailout will be many check writers. It will be Germany and the International Monetary Fund. Perhaps it will feel a bit like a deja vu for them as they, along with the U.S., help to bail out Latin America in a similar devastating and transformative debt crisis back in the 1980s, which is often called in Latin America the lost decade for those nations, nations like Chile and Brazil and Paraguay and Argentina. So what lessons can Europe learn from Latin America that might help them survive and eventually break out of this funk? To answer that is Arno Tausch, professor of political science at Innsbruck University in Austria, guest professor of economics at Corvinus University in Budapest. Good morning, professor.
Hello, good morning to you all.
Great. Then it's afternoon, I gather, there in Vienna, Austria. Harold James also joins us from Princeton, New Jersey, where it's morning time, professor of international affairs in the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University. Good morning, Professor James.
Good morning.
So, Arno, let me begin with you here. Is the difference between what happened to Latin America in the 80s and what's going on in Europe today a difference in scale or a fundamental difference in just sort of the way they got into it and the workings of the economy?
Well, I would think that in difference to Latin America, our wounds are much more self-inflicted. And we are now beginning to realize how much neoclassical and neoliberal economists were right in criticizing and warning us about the euro. If you dig up the old articles written by people like Milton Friedman, who certainly is not a Marxist economist, you are really starting to wonder how the political class in Europe tried to find the solution to Europe's problems in creating the European Monetary Zone. Everybody was critical about that, save for the Nobel laureate Robert Mundell, who was the only Nobel laureate among the leading world economists to be in favor of the euro, and all the rest were against it.
Well, we're talking with Arno Tausch, who's a political science professor at Innsbruck University in Vienna, Austria. Harold James at Princeton, you know, he mentions, Professor Tausch does, Milton Friedman, whose idea of how to enforce austerity in Latin America was, in the short term, politically very, very, you know, inflammatory to a lot of these governments. But over a long period of time, it seems, got the ball going for a variety of reforms. Is that how you see it?
Yes, I mean, I'm certainly convinced that the Latin American opening in the 1980s was good for those economies, but they are really in a very different position to the European economies today. Latin American economies in the 1980s were pretty closed off, and one of the effects of the reform was to push them to open up. European economies are exceptionally open, so that sort of comparison, I think, really doesn't hold so much water.
Although you've got countries in Europe for the first time dealing with, I guess, social programs and expectations on the part of certain subsidized sectors of the economy, taking a look at those issues and whether they can afford them in a way that was politically impossible, you know, even 2-3 years ago.
Yes. But again, there's a wide range of social policy within the European Union. It's not a one-size-fit-all story. There are some countries, particularly the newer members of the European Union in Central Europe, which have really pretty small-scale social programs. So I think, again, it wouldn't be right to say that social programs are simply the root cause of the European problems at the moment. The problems are to do with uncompetitiveness in the fundamentally in the southern European states.
Do you see, Arno Tausch, we're talking with Harold James, who's professor of international affairs in the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton, but also on the line is Arno Tausch, a political science professor at Innsbruck University in Austria. Is it possible that this debt crisis would encourage a wave of a variety of economic reforms in Europe that will stick, or is this something that's going to be a flash in the pan over the next 18 months?
Well, I don't think so. Europe has been trying to do that since basically March 2000, when the European heads of government got together in Lisbon for their March European Council meeting. And at that time, it was promised to realize all kinds of reforms. And Europe has been trying to do that in the 1990s and so on. I think most basically the erroneous assumption of constructivism as neoliberal economists like Hayek had been preaching all along was that you have a single currency area for so different economies, different in levels of production, etc., etc. And it used to be that the answer of the European South to external shocks was just to work with the exchange rate. And now this is not possible anymore. So the end result would be either to answer all this in movements of wages or migration, or because that is rather unlikely,
right,
to resort to government transfers.
So Arno Tausch is a political science professor at Innsbruck University in Austria, noting that tools are out of the toolbox once you have a single currency in Europe. Harold James, take us out from Princeton University. Does the whatever agreement is made in Europe, does it depend in some sense on the kind of contagion we're seeing in Europe not migrating to the United States in some way?
I think in the end, it is quite possible that people will look at debt markets and will think that the debt of the United States is not stable. But that moment is a long, long way off. And so at the moment, the discussions are really about the Europeans. We have to worry about that, but I think in the distant future.
All right. Harold James, professor of international affairs in the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University, talking about meeting in Brussels to take a look at European debt problems. And are there analogs to debt crises in the past, particularly Latin America? Thanks so much, professors.